This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Today on Dreamland, we're going to be talking first to Dr. Jacques Vallée and then to director Alan Stiefelman about their new documentary, Witness of Another World. But before we start, I would like to update you about a few things regarding Unknown Country. First, the entire archive is now on the site. This took a long time to do because it's a big archive. The Whitley's Room section specifically is now available once again to subscribers. You'll find it in the drop-down menu after you log in. Second, the Afterlife Revolution will soon join the collection of audiobooks available to subscribers for free on unknowncountry.com. Also, I'd like to remind subscribers that we chat live Wednesday evenings at 7 Pacific time in the subscriber chat room. You'd be most welcome to attend. My new book, A New World, should be available as an audiobook, as an ebook, and as a paperback by November the 15th. I have written A New World in concert with the visitors who have offered an enormous amount of information and lessons in communication with them to me over the years that we have been working on this. So it is the first real book, I mean real book, about contact and how to communicate with them, because believe me, we do not know how to do that yet, not on a large scale, but it is very possible. There's an awful lot going on in the background and is soon to come into the foreground. The To the Stars Academy has openly stated that they're now working directly with the military on weapons. I could not be farther from that camp. I'm in the opposite camp. I am about communicating with the visitors and using their knowledge in our lives to, frankly, save our planet and revolutionize the experience of being human in some very extraordinary and worthwhile ways. This is all discussed in this book. And now let's go on to Dr. Vallée and director Alan Stiefelman about what I believe to be the finest UFO documentary ever made. I have known Dr. Jacques Vallée, I think, more than 30 years, and who has played not only an enormous role in my understanding and the expansion of my understanding of what the close encounter and contact experiences are, but also that of so many, many thousands of other people. A great pioneer is with us today, Dr. Jacques Vallée. Jacques, welcome to Dreamland.
Thank you. I look forward to this discussion.
Well, good. We're going to be together, folks, for about half an hour discussing a documentary that Jacques has participated in that is quite extraordinary, Witness of Another World, which is one of the things that makes this so extraordinary is that this witness has been observed over so many years, essentially over his entire adult life and longer. Jacques, can you tell us a little bit about this man and his story?
Well, this is, every researcher has special cases, special things that happen that you never forget, and you come back to them again and again and again. Back in 1980, I was invited to give a series of lectures in Argentina. I've been in Argentina several times, but this was an invitation from Fabio Serpa, who was running really the best investigation group in Argentina at the time. And he had set up a series of 5 lectures in 5 cities. Now, it's important for people to realize that Argentina is an enormous land. It's the size of Western Europe, even though it's a single country. So it has a number of different provinces that are very different, from mountains to the sea and to really agricultural land. And I told Fabio, look, if we're going to do this, I'd like to have one free day after every lecture day so that I could meet people who are doing research in those different areas, because it's a very big country and I'd like to understand it and appreciate it. I love the Spanish language, by the way, and I love the people there. And this was really an opportunity to get to know the phenomenon in a completely different culture. And Fabio agreed because it also helped him in his own research locally. And this particular case happened in a province which is in the north of Argentina. It's a province called Entre Rios, between the rivers, close to Paraguay. And it's fairly poor. It's agricultural. It's flat. It's not very picturesque. And there was a case there that the local investigators introduced to us of a young boy who was 12 by the time I met him. The case had happened 2 years earlier. Actually, he was 14 when I met him. He had been 12 when the case happened to him in 1978. And we met him and we met his family and we spent an entire day with him. And the story was extraordinary. Essentially, the story had to do with his father telling him to go out, very early in the morning. They had a quick breakfast together, and he got on his horse and he went out on the property trying to gather the herd of the horses they kept. There are no, this is open country, so there are no fences. But the horses are smart enough to know that if they want to be fed, they have to come back to the estancia, to the farm, in the morning. And the boy got on his horse, whose name was Comet, to go out and get the herd. The weather was very unusual. There was a very heavy fog, and he really couldn't see where the horses were. And there were lights that were sort of dancing in the fog. And when he came closer, evidently there was something there. There was a machine there. And first he thought it was some sort of agricultural machine. And then it was pretty clear it was a very large, essentially a very large flying saucer. The story he told was that there was a ladder, a shining sort of aluminum ladder. And, he was a very brave young gaucho. He was not afraid. He was very curious, and he climbed the ladder and he went in. So this is not an abduction story. He was not taken. He actually walked in. And
yeah. Amazing. Go ahead.
Yes. And inside, there were two beings. There was a giant, about 3 meters, about 18 feet tall. He couldn't see his face. He was covered in sort of very bright silver-like suit with a hose coming out from his face that was connected to something. And then there was a smaller robot-like being that was very busy doing something with a leg of a of cattle, of a leg of a cow. There was no blood, but he was obviously doing something with the meat inside this object.
Oh my.
That was the story. Now, the first idea is, well, who is this kid? What do we know about him? The whole thing was wonderful. The whole thing was very emotional, is still emotional to me, and I think you'll see that in the movie. The movie was made by a young movie maker and producer in Argentina named Alan Stivelman. That was his second movie. He's very interested in the traditions of local people and of the Guarani Indians in Latin America. And he's a very, very sensitive artist and reconstructed that episode very well in the movie, which is beautiful.
Witness of Another World is available on Amazon Instant Video, on Vimeo On Demand, on Google Play, on iTunes, on Fandango, and Xbox. The film is $12.99 in most of these cases.
The whole episode is very emotional for me because my wife, Janine, whom you've met over the years, Whitley, was with me on that trip. And, of course, Janine was a child psychologist and a teacher. She started out as a school teacher and then had a master's degree in child psychology. And the teacher of Juan Perez, the child, was also there when we all got together with the family. So Janine was able to talk to the teacher and found out that Juan was a good student. He was very serious. He was not the best student in the school, but he was doing well, and he was very applied to his studies. This was not a kid who was making up stories. Also, when you met his father, you understood very quickly that there was no room for making up anything. I mean, the father was a very stern, driver of everybody on the farm. When I met him on that occasion, he was dressed as a gaucho, and there was no question about who was in charge. I also met his mother and his siblings of Juan. That case was extraordinary, and always I wrote about it in one of my books in Confrontations, very briefly and summarily, but it always stayed with me. Now, I don't know, 35 years pass, and I get an email on the internet from Alan Stivelman, who says, "I'm a young movie maker from Argentina. I'm based in Buenos Aires. I've been looking at traditions and stories of the Guaranis, and I read your report about this kid, and I've met him, and he's now, in his late 40s, and his life has been kind of tragic. He's been isolated from his family. He lives on a little isolated cabin with animals. He hunts with three dogs, and he has some cattle around him and some chickens and so on, and hires himself to the local farmers. But essentially, his life has been broken by what he saw. And I understand you met him when he was a kid. Can I come and interview you in San Francisco?" And I said, "Alan, are you aware that this was not an isolated case, that there were three other cases in the same town in the same week?" And he said, "No, I have no idea of that. I thought it was mainly, perhaps a sort of a dream that the kid had." And I said, "No, I mean, this was, in no way was it a dream. It was a real experience. And if I could come to Buenos Aires, maybe we can help this man sort of reconnect with his life, his childhood, and his experience, and help him reconnect with his family." And Alan thought it was a good idea, and so I went and spent about 10 days with him and with Juan. And I think this is the only case that I know of where a witness has been studied twice, and we've reconstructed his entire life, 35 years later. Now, when I met him, he was 50, and the whole movie talks about the experience, talks about what he saw and what he continues to see in his life now, and about the transformation that we were able, I think we did a really good job. I think we were able to reconnect him with his family and sort of close the cycle of this extraordinary experience and then extract many, many more details about what he went through and what it means. Now, you know, I almost feel like I should apologize because it doesn't have to do with aircraft carriers. It doesn't have to do with the Pentagon. It doesn't have to do with Trump. It doesn't have to do with, federal budgets or the CIA or cover-ups or any of the things that American ufologists like to hear about.
Yes.
It's not even an abduction. You know, when the beings communicated with him telepathically, in other words, he heard words in his mind.
Well,
and he heard
Jacques,
that
we have come up on a brief break. So as soon as we get back, Free Dreamlanders, we will hear exactly what did happen and what he has remembered after all of these years. We'll be right back. Witness of Another World is available on Amazon Instant Video, on Vimeo On Demand, on Google Play, on iTunes, on Fandango, and Xbox. The film is $12.99 in most of these cases. This week, we're just going to be running ads about the seriousness and importance of subscribing to and supporting UnknownCountry.com. This is a political season and a very intense one, with the result that a lot of people have drifted away, but not you, or you wouldn't be listening to this right now. Also, we've lost some subscribers because of our stance on climate change. We stand with the visitors. I've stood with the visitors on climate change most of my adult life since I understood what their position was. And their position is that it is happening and it is extremely dangerous. I'm not interested in politics. I'm aware of the fact that there are political leaders who claim it's not happening and that some of their supporters have left Unknown Country. But I think the visitors are right, and I don't trust politicians at all. So that's where that stands. In any case, listen to these various ads over the course of the show. Each one will take you to a story that is from our archive, that is readily available in the archive, and they are all so absolutely fascinating. So in this particular first one, very timely. This was broadcast on February 20th, 2010, and you will find it in the archive by simply going to our search engine and typing in the name Doug Horn. Douglas Horn was chief analyst for military records on the Assassination Records Review Board convened by the United States Congress in 1992 to review all of the records of the Kennedy assassination. He provided us with a truly incredible edition of Dreamland, and for our subscribers, he went deeper. This is a very, very important interview. Don't miss it. Become a subscriber to UnknownCountry.com, not just to listen to this interview, but because we provide a truly important and unique service in this world. There is no place quite like UnknownCountry.com. Making your commitment to this website matters. So click on the subscribe tab at the top of the UnknownCountry.com homepage right now. You need this, and we need your support. Now, listen to just a small excerpt of what Doug Horn said when I went in the subscriber section beyond where Jim Mars had taken him on Dreamland, and I asked him, Doug, who did it?
I sure have a pretty good idea of who did it and in the larger sense. And, you know, if we don't talk about the who did it and the why, then really we're all wasting our time. I mean, it's long ago the JFK researchers should have moved out of Dealey Plaza and moved on to the bigger issues.
And there are two bigger issues. First, the issue of who did it. We know now that it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald working alone. That is a lie, pure and simple. It is a lie. Second, we must get to the bottom of this, because if we don't, this country remains profoundly and deeply vulnerable. We must not let this go. And one way to do that, one small, tiny way to help,
is to become a member of this website, because this website does care, and we do not drop these issues. We are still going with it. We will never stop going with it. We will never stop, not with any of the issues we deal with, not with this, not with what really happened on 9-1-1, not with the UFO cover-up, not with any of it. I learned the hard way, face-to-face and personal, just how many secrets the U.S. government is wrongfully keeping from its people. Become a subscriber to unknowncountry.com right now. Help me. This is an important mission. Don't let it go.
You can find out more about Witness of Another World on witnessofanotherworld.com and also buy the full documentary there. And I urge you to do it. As I've said before, I think it's the best UFO documentary ever made. It is deeply moving and informative in ways that, quite frankly, I don't think anything has ever been. So keep listening. I'm sure Jacques has got a lot of fascinating stuff to say about his experiences with working with Juan Hernandez and Alan Stiefelman. And do look at witnessofanotherworld.com. It is so very worth doing. Now, let's get back to this situation. You returned to him after all these years and found that there was a good bit more memory, but very different from what the American standard UFO community would expect. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
In what way different?
It's different, of course, from the setting. I mean, the area is very, very isolated. It's close to a small town. Remember, there had been three other cases that he did not know about at the same time in the same, and Alan has done a very good job of tracking down. I sent him all my notes. I had a personal report of about 25 pages with photographs and so on. So he took all that, and he found the other witnesses, and they are on film. Of course, now they are 30 years later, 30 years older, and they remembered the fear. They felt the same sort of ominous presence of something incredible in their environment, in the environment of that small town. And when Juan, we have a witness there who is, you know, a kid from the country, so he's very observant. He is attuned to the weather, he's attuned to the animals, he can read, you know, what's happening in the countryside. And he was not afraid. I mean, the contact with these beings was a positive one. They told him, or they made him understand, that they had to take off because they said they had some work to do, and the object had to take off. So he went down the ladder. He came out and got his horse again. Cometa was not happy at all with the situation. The horse had kicked the ladder of the object and hurt the leg had an injury. The horse went blind a few days later, and the horse died within a week. The kid didn't suffer any ill effects. As you know, I've been very interested in the medical effects of close encounters, both positive and negative effects, working with doctors and working with colleagues. And I'm not a doctor, but I've accumulated, you know, quite a bit of data about this. And the kid didn't have any physiological or biological reaction except a mark on his shoulder. Now, as you know, many people have been reporting marks coming from they don't know where. People who, in most cases, are not UFO witnesses, although we now have some cases where the people both saw a UFO and independently had a mark on their shoulder, on their upper body, or on their arm. So we've been studying this quietly, separately from everything else. In the case of Juan, he does have both the observation and the contact and the mark, but he didn't suffer any ill effects physiologically. The horse did.
And, it's and interesting that died. That would be the case, and yet he went into the thing.
Yes, he went into the thing. He explored it. He touched things around. There was sort of an invisible barrier that kept him from going further inside, but he saw what was going on inside, and that's depicted very well in the movie.
That's so fascinating. Go ahead.
What happened after that was that he was ostracized, I would say, not in a mean way, but by his family. He was estranged from his family. He felt different. His siblings sort of didn't, you know, treated him as being different from them. And as he grew up, it remained a very traumatic memory for him. And he wandered away to further north to this cabin, and his life was essentially solitary, with contact only with the local farmers when they hire him, and mostly spending his time with the animals, with whom he has an amazing relationship. Now, he's also a hunter. He's obviously very poor, making him, you know, everything that he needs. He makes himself out of materials that he finds. And the reunion was very emotional, and you'll see it on the film. We did close that circle. I thought, and I told Alan, and Alan agreed, that if I went there and met him again, that might be a closing of the circle for him, because he remembered me when I was there, when he was 14. And the fact that I was there again could be a signal to his family that this was important, that what he had seen was something that was important for many people, not just in Argentina, but in the United States, in France, in, you know, in the rest of the world. And we did that. Now, to me, it was, you'll see the scene where, you know, we get reunited again and we embrace. And to me, that was not just that story, but, you know, my days as a young investigator, you know, with Janine by my side, who was, of course, it's in that kind of thing, it's very, very important when you can have, you know, a psychologist with you, who is a shy psychologist and understand the different stages that children go through when they grow up and when they become aware of the world. And so all of that came back, you know, washing over me, and it was, you know, it's pretty clear that it was emotional for everybody. I had taken, when Alan had agreed that I would come to Buenos Aires, I had taken 6 months to relearn Spanish. I was fluent in Spanish when I was 15, when I was a kid. I spent some time in Spain. I love the Spanish language. I love the Spanish people. And it's always been very comfortable to me. But, you know, I had lost all the vocabulary. Even though I live in California, I don't use Spanish very often. And I wanted to relearn enough of it so that I could speak with Juan face-to-face, you know, alone, without the translator. Because I wanted to hear the nuances. I wanted to hear the emotion in his voice. And I wanted to be in front of him speaking his own language. I think it's so important, and we lose so much. When, you know, I hear about, you know, American expeditions to Brazil to investigate, you know, the cases there and so on. And nobody speaks the local language. Nobody speaks Portuguese. And yeah, they get something, but they get something from a translator or an interpreter who has his own idea about what the people are saying. And you don't get the nuances. And I wanted to be, as much as I trusted Alan, of course, as a translator, but I wanted to be face-to-face alone with one. And we did that. And that, too, was emotional because he could tell me, you know, I was someone from his childhood. I was a figure who came out of nowhere to that little town to hear him. And so we had time to, and that was closing a circle for me too, because as you know, Jeanine died 10 years ago and,
yes,
you know, she was no longer with me. And I know, Whitley, that you know what that's like.
Oh, yes. We both know very well, Jacques.
So all of that, you know, came washing over both of us. And in a way, in many ways, it was beautiful. It was completely authentic. Now, on the film, you know, I'm not a movie actor. And on the film, you see how awkward I was.
You're not a movie actor, but a movie actor has acted you.
Well, the awkwardness came from the emotion that we all felt.
Well, it's from what I've seen of it, there's a deep and profound authenticity there, Jacques, that was very moving to me, and I can hear it still very much in your voice. You've commented in the press materials that the U.S., it demonstrates the mistakes we in the U.S. have made in our methodology and opens the way to a new, much richer era of international research. Can you comment on that?
Yes. As you know, I go back to France several times a year. I also do research with people from Italy and from Spain and who know the U.S., and they all say the same thing. They say, you know, when we come to the U.S., the richness of the experience gets lost. The U.S. has a technical culture, which is amazing, has given us, you know, all these great inventions. But we're very oriented, and I'm not even talking about just Silicon Valley here, but, you know, we're all talking about technology. We want to know how it works. So we have all these theories about, you know, black holes and propulsion and quarks and relativity and quantum theory. And that's what we want to talk about instead of listening to the witnesses. And what the witnesses are telling us, we can make up all kinds of theories, and that's important for science. Of course it is. Of course we should take notes, and of course we could go back to the lab and we should study this and we should see. But that's not, you know, let's not jump to quick explanations just because we have all these fancy theories. We are a long way from understanding what happened to Juan. And if we want to know what happened to Juan, it's not just, you know, one flying saucer landing in the fog. It's what happened to the horse, what happened to him, and what's happening to him now.
And what happened to the cow, after all?
And what happened to the cow, yes. Yeah. And I asked, you know, when I was there, have you had reports of cattle mutilations in the area? And yes, there were cows that had disappeared there. Now, they were not aware of the cattle mutilation phenomenon the way I have studied it and the way we have studied it in the U.S., in the 70s and in the 80s. So this was incidental to them. They hadn't made the connection. And they hadn't made a connection to the mark on the skin either. And so all those things show that, number one, it's the same phenomenon. It happens everywhere. And we have to really expand our horizon and keep just, you know, we have to look beyond just, you know, the CIA and the Pentagon and the aircraft carrier and what pilots have seen and the infrared things and the cover-up and all those things we talk about every day. The U.S. is 5% of the land mass of the planet. there is the other 95%. And the phenomenon is deployed, has been deployed for centuries across the entire planet. And that's what I want to study.
Well, that is, yes, and that is what you have been studying, I think, for most of your adult life, ever since you started this, I believe, in 1968, as I recall.
Yes, but I remember I had a sighting myself in 1955, when I was 15 or 16, with two other witnesses, was separate, independent of me. One of whom was looking for binoculars, and this was in a small town outside Paris, in broad daylight, in the middle of the afternoon. It was essentially a saucer with a dome on top. So that has always remained with me. So when I talk to someone like Juan, I'm not just, you know, the police investigator taking notes or the scientist, you know, taking notes. I know what, to some extent, I know what it's like.
Indeed you do. And Jacques, I would like to thank you for being with us. I promised half an hour, and we have come to the end of half an hour together. I am hoping that in the coming year that you will spend more time with us on Dreamland, because we have got a lot to talk about, obviously.
Well, indeed, it would be a pleasure.
Well, thank you again for being with us, Jacques Vallée. Next up, director Alan Stiefelman is going to be talking to us about his own extraordinary experiences with Juan and in his own life when he became involved in this remarkable experience. To learn more, go to witnessofanotherworld.com, and also there you can buy the film to stream on any number of different venues. So do not miss it. Witness of Another World. As I said, I think it's the most extraordinary and certainly by far the most moving UFO documentary ever created. Here's a commercial we ran for our subscriber section back in December of 2004. Phenomenal material on the Coral Castle, and it's still there. You can listen to this and so much more by subscribing to unknowncountry.com.
He was just clear, perfect, everything you'd want in a human being, sharing this information and giving answers that were just blowing me away.
That's George Nerons talking about John Leedskalnin of Latvia. He speaks fluent Latvian, and he has met John, is a relation of Ed Leedskalnin of Coral Castle fame. He has given us a fabulous interview for our subscriber section, just by way of letting you know how good it is. John Leedskalnin uses some of the same methods, hitherto secret, that Ed used in the building of the Coral Castle. You can only hear about this on unknowncountry.com in our fabulous subscriber section. I urge you, subscribe today. Keep this great website going. Get behind it and have a load of fun and great information in the process. Go to unknowncountry.com, click on that subscribe tab today.
Perhaps from the other side, the phenomenon is moving us to wake up from the long dream of illusion so we remember who we are. Those are the words of Alan Stiefelman, the director of Witness of Another World, a film made with Jacques Vallée about an absolutely incredible incident, but more than just the incident that happened 30 years ago, the life that has been lived by this witness since, and his journey into his own truth. It is, without question, with no documentary about a close encounter experience even comes close. It is the best ever made, and certainly among the top three or four documentaries ever made about the UFO phenomenon. In fact, I can't think of one deeper or more profound or more moving. Alan, it is a real privilege to have you on Dreamland.
Thank you so much. The privilege is mine. It's a It's a big honor to be your guest today. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Jacques talked about a little bit about Juan Hernandez and his early experience with him, going to Argentina and interviewing him when he was 14 years old. But you came to this a little later. What brought you to this, drew you to this story?
Well, the long short story is while I was writing a script, it was 2012, I was writing a script. And by that time, I was doing automatic writing. And I realized that I was writing a story about an abduction, a couple that suffered from an abduction. And then I start to say, like, why am I writing this kind of stuff? Because I wasn't involved in the UFO phenomenon. My main interest was in archaeology, in the search of lost civilization in America, what is below Earth. But I never researched anything that is related with the UFO phenomenon. So after 30 pages of writing, I stopped there and I started to read plenty of books about the UFO phenomenon and mainly about the abduction phenomenon. So I went to a bookstore and I bought a book about cases from Argentina. It was written by a psychiatrist, Dr. Néstor Berlanda. And I brought this book to a presentation from my previous movie, Humano. I went to Rosario, a city near Buenos Aires, and while I was presenting my movie there, in the audience, the author of this book was there, and I was having his book in my hands while I was speaking to the audience. And so he got really surprised because this book was sold out 15 years ago. So then he approached to me and said, this is not by chance, this is a synchronicity, we have to meet each other. And the next day, while we were having a pizza, we were eating pizza, and he started to speak to me about one of the most significant cases that he had investigated, and this is the case of Juan Perez. And then he showed me a small footage of Juan when he was 18 years old. He was speaking to a small audience, trying to explain what he saw when he was 12 years old, and he couldn't do it. He grabbed his head and said something like, you won't believe me. What happened to me, you won't believe me. I cannot speak. And then I was shocked by that video because it was the first time that I was in front of someone who had an encounter with the unknown. For me, it was a terrific experience because I felt that I was seeing something that was true. A man that was suffering from a trauma that he cannot explain, he couldn't express by that time. So I asked to Dr. Néstor Berlanda that I want to meet that guy. I wanted to feel what is to be next to someone who was like witness something that was really supernatural. And after 4 months, I went to the countryside with Dr. Néstor Berlanda, and I met Juan. And while I was recording him, he started to explain to me his case. And 2 minutes after, he broke down. He started to cry. It was very emotional, that moment. So I stopped the recording. I sat next to him and just listened what happened to him. And I remember his last words before we left were something like, please don't leave me or please come back. I will be waiting for you. And those words kept echoing in my head. And 3 years after a long period of research time, I started to make this project happen.
This is a man with a very, very important message, which we'll get to and explore later in the show. But right now, I would like to explore a little bit about what made you start to write about an abduction. It doesn't seem to have even been in your head.
No, it wasn't. And I don't know what was the... That's a good idea, a good question.
Yeah, it is. I know my listeners is going to be thinking the same question.
Yeah, I don't know what happened inside of me that put me into writing this kind of story. I can tell you that in 2011, I had a small episode. I saw something in the sky that was really interesting, to say a word. I was in Cusco in Peru shooting my previous movie, and I saw something that I cannot explain. And 3 years after, I saw another thing that it was really hard to explain in Spain, in Seville, in the same city that I am right now, in the south of Spain. Probably in an unconscious level, those episodes or those experiences kept they were very active in my unconscious. So thanks to the automatic writing, probably they came up to the surface in a way of a fiction story from a couple that were victims from a kidnap from entities. And that story led me to the story of Juan. That is the really important story. The fiction story was just an excuse to go after Juan.
Yes, you were being called by the phenomenon itself, I think. In other words, it chose you. And who knows what goes on in a person's mind when they see one of these objects, because the object also sees you. I've often said to some of the people who work directly on this that, you know, when you're working with the when you're looking at the materials, they're looking back at you. And because this is alive in ways that we don't really understand, and I think you were touched by it most extraordinarily and in such a creative manner, because it somehow drew your mind to this and inevitably down the path to this extraordinary story that Juan so badly needed to tell for his own soul and for all of us. So what an experience, and to see the way it happened. It's beautiful. Free Dreamlanders, we're going to take a short break. And subscribers, please tell your friends about Dreamland and Unknown Country. It's the only place like this in the world. Witness of Another World is available on Amazon Instant Video, on Vimeo On Demand, on Google Play, on iTunes, on Fandango, and Xbox. The film is $12.99 in most of these cases. We'll be right back. Listen to this conversation with Joseph Farrell.
We've touched on the bell many times.
Right.
On the idea that this object moved through time into Kecksburg in Pennsylvania. And literally the object that fell, what was the year it fell in Kecksburg?
1965.
In 1965 had just a few moments before that left, what was it, Poland or Germany?
Well, at the time it would have been in Germany. Silesia now is in Poland, but
that's right.
Part of Germany.
It would have been in Silesia in early 1945.
Possibly so.
Yes.
That's an excerpt from this week's offering for Unknown Country subscribers. Every week, something just as new, just as fascinating. Plus, as a subscriber, you get access to every Dreamland recorded for the past 5 years, hundreds of subscriber interviews, access to live chats with celebrity guests, and our vibrant subscriber community. We believe that this is by far the best offering of its kind on the Internet. So go to unknowncountry.com and click on that subscribe tab right now.
We're talking to Alan Stevelman, the director of Witness of Another World. You can find out more at the Witness of Another World website. So listen up carefully. When you go to the website, you will find a number of ways to buy the movie for about $12.99, I think it is, on Vimeo On Demand, Amazon Instant Video, Google Play, and iTunes. Yes, you can buy it on any of those places, and you simply must not miss it. It's terribly important and also extremely beautiful. And that gets me to another question, and it's more or less about the texture of the movie. Alan, it's so beautiful to look at. That is really marvelous filmmaking. It's lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The way you enter into the spirit of the land and you bring Juan to life I've never seen anything like it.
The movie, it's about love. It's about a healing. And I, as a filmmaker, I just try to portray the soul of Juan as the way I look at him, because he's so innocent. He's very pure. He's only heart. So my main goal was to try to get some conclusions to him, because he was really suffering after that encounter. It was like 4 decades of suffering, of loneliness. He was asking himself lots of questions like, why to me? Why this happened to me? And I have to tell you that in the beginning of the movie, of this project, my mission was to make a movie or make a documentary about the UFO phenomenon, but giving another kind of answers, taking the theories of Dr. Jacques Vallée, exposing other theories from the UFO phenomenon. But what happened was that I have two choices. I have one of the choice, the options was to make a documentary about, mainly about the UFO phenomenon, and the other option was to help a witness to get into his conscience and try to give answers to his sorrow. Because I remember the second day of shooting, he started to talk to me about the dreams that he had after the encounter. Because Juan, after that contact, when he was 12, immediately after, he started to have premonition dreams or precognitive dreams. That was the most terrible aspect from this contact for him was the premonition dreams, because it was something that he couldn't deal with it. It was a truly nightmare. So I wanted to help him. So that's why I went to Paraguay in order to get answers from his ancestors, because Juan lineage came from the Guarani tribe. The Guarani people are one of the most important indigenous cultures from South America. So it was a cult.
I want to talk about this
in
a few minutes. You've sort of jumped the gun. So if we could go back now to your own experience, folks, we're going to talk about the Guarani, his taking Juan to meet the Guarani, which is one of the single most important things that's ever been done for a UFO witness, in my opinion. And I will discuss why that is true, why I believe that to be true, a little later in the show. But I want to go back, because we haven't fully explored something yet. Alan, you say in the movie, we have to be ready when the phenomenon comes knocking on the door of our perception. But we are never ready. You weren't ready.
Yeah.
Juan certainly wasn't ready. I sure as hell wasn't ready. And I don't think any of my listeners who've had the close encounter experience were ready either. What do you think we need to do in our lives to be more ready?
Well, that's a hard question because I got to that conclusion after that I went to this tribe, to meet these people. And I think that one of the things that we have to be, what do we have to do in order to be ready is to not feel fear, for example, to not be scared from the unknown. And I'm still scared about this issue. I'm not telling these things from a position from above. I'm still a human being struggling with the unknown, with my own fears. For example, one of the things that you said, it was like the phenomenon chose me. And that, if that's true, it's pretty scary for me, because I'm probably dealing with something that I don't have the control on it. So with that part, it's really frightening. And the other thing that you mentioned was, for example, in my second experience, when I was in Seville in Spain, I was talking by the phone in a roof. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I saw a light in the sky, and that light had it was something similar to a ring, and in the ring was on fire. And then when I saw that, I felt that object was staring at me, and this object realized that I was seeing it. And in the moment that I noticed that connection, the object ran away immediately. It's just fade out. And it was really funny to hear you saying that this object or this phenomenon can perceive that we are seeing it.
Oh, yes.
So it was, yes, it's the first time that I'm hearing from someone else.
Well, you know, I've been living with it for 30 years in my adult life and most of my childhood as well. So I am fairly familiar with this sort of thing. You know, if you're looking at a UFO, the UFO is looking at you too. That is undoubtedly why you were drawn into this, because there was something seen in your skills, in your mind, and in your heart that said that this could happen. And what you have done both in the documentary and for Juan is just extraordinary. You have fulfilled the hopes of the phenomenon in spades. You really have done a good job. And I just want to mention, folks, while we're talking again, go to witnessofanotherworld.com and get the movie. There's no other way to describe this. You have to do that. And it's $12.99. You can get it on Amazon Instant Video, Vimeo On Demand, Google Play, and iTunes. And watch it. Watch it with your friends and family. Discuss it, because I'm telling you, for anyone who is a close encounter witness or is interested in this, there is real energy in this, from the visitors, as I call them, Alan and Jacques would call it the phenomenon, and that's perfectly legitimate. But it's real. There's a communication here that's not just human, it's beyond human. And that gets me to my next question, which is this. And we're going to stop for a brief break for our Free Dreamlanders just after I ask the question, and then we'll go right back to the question. The question is this. Juan, at one point in the movie, sees his grandfather. And when we get back, I'm going to ask Alan what that means to you as a researcher, as a human being, and as someone who has been close to Juan and perhaps understands this phenomenon more deeply than most. We'll be right back. The great UFO researcher Stanton Friedman passed away earlier this year, but he didn't pass away on unknowncountry.com. We have a load of marvelous Stanton Friedman interviews that will inform you as no other UFO researcher ever has. Go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe to listen. Meanwhile, listen to this example.
Listen as Stanton Friedman describes something from our subscriber interview this week that is truly amazing. He's found a brand new Roswell witness. Listen to this.
They went out in a military vehicle, and what they were doing was picking up debris. And I hadn't heard the phrase in a long time, but he described how they were putting this stuff into gunny sacks. So he described how you pick up this pieces of foil-like material, and you pick it up in your hand, you sort of squash it to throw it in the bag, and by the time it got into the bag, just a foot or two away, it already had opened up.
That's an excerpt from this week's offering for Unknown Country subscribers. Every week, something just as new, just as fascinating. Plus, as a subscriber, you'll get access to every Dreamland recorded, hundreds of subscriber interviews, access to live chats with celebrity guests, and our vibrant subscriber community. We believe that this is by far the best offering of its kind on the Internet. So go to unknowncountry.com and click on that subscribe tab right now.
Witness of Another World is available on Amazon Instant Video, on Vimeo On Demand, on Google Play, on iTunes, on Fandango, and Xbox. The film is $12.99 in most of these cases. It is very, very important. And now, let's go back to this question, Alan. What about his seeing of his grandfather?
Well, you're asking me the most complicated questions, and I really enjoy it to answer because, what can I say to you? For at the beginning of the project, I had two questions very deep inside of me. One of the questions was if there is a connection between the lineage of the witnesses and the UFO phenomenon. And the other question was if there is a connection between the afterlife and the UFO phenomenon also. So we practiced a regression to Juan. It was guided by Dr. Nestor Berlanda, a well-known psychiatrist from South America. It's not hypnosis. It's quite different. It's more like a relaxation or a meditation. And what happened was that at the end of that regression, Juan saw in the middle of the experience, in the middle of the contact, he saw his grandfather. And I have to stop here because in the original reports, there is no evidence of that vision or that encounter. It was something that popped up in the middle of the regression. It was something that surprised us a lot. And when it happened, I have to make like another addition to this experience, because while we were doing this regression, everyone in the room and the room next to us, everyone fall asleep 5 minutes after that we start this regression. The only one who remained awake was Dr. Nestor Berlanda and myself. And when at the end of this regression, when this thing happened with the grandfather, Juan started to cry a lot because he started to say, oh, my grandfather, why do you leave me? I miss you a lot. And it was quite powerful. And Dr. Néstor Berlanda had to stop there because we were doing the regression for 2 hours. So it was a really long process. And I remember that when that happened, I had to go outside and I start to walk around the countryside among the animals. And I start to say to myself questions like, what is happening here? What is this UFO phenomenon? Why the grandfather appeared in that experience? It, for me, it was one of the most significant things that happened in my life. And I lived that scene as a total crisis, existential crisis for me, because I couldn't understand what was happening in that room. Why Juan saw his grandfather in the experience with the extraterrestrials or the UFO. So it was something really, really big for me. And now I don't have an answer for that. I hope that's my own belief. It doesn't have to be in, it's not on the movie, but my own belief is that I think there is a relationship between the afterlife and the UFO phenomenon, for sure.
I think so, too. In the thousands and thousands of letters Anne and I got after Communion was published, many, many of them mentioned the presence of the dead with the visitors. Beautiful and extraordinarily moving letters. And in my own life, that happened. And in our cabin, when we had people coming to the cabin, very often the dead would be there with the visitors, as I call them. So this does have, it's about, I think it's about an expansion of human consciousness. And we're going to get into, in the second part of the show, our time together, we're going to get into where Juan went and who he found who would help him to do that very thing, to expand his consciousness, to enable the barrier between the living and the dead, this illusory barrier, to fall. But before we go there, I have another somewhat smaller question you'll be happy to know. I want to know, after the experience, he talked about it as a child, and he had a lot of trouble. Can you tell us a little bit about what he experienced in life that so traumatized him after this happened?
Well, the main part was that no one believed him. He was trying to be understood, but he only received mockery from his relatives, from his friends, from his co-workers. So it was really hard for him to explain what happened in that field that day, September 6, 1978. But the experience itself, it wasn't so traumatic. The most traumatic part for him was what happened after that event, the dreams that he started to have. Those dreams were mainly about accident, about death from his, yes, mainly from his family, from his friends, and he wasn't able to stop them all, because when he what he told me was like, if he go to sleep in his right side, he will enter to a dream that it's more real than our reality. That's the way he described those dreams. But if he dreams, he go to sleep in his left side, he will have a regular dream. But when he's moving during the night, when he touch his right arm and he enters this real dream, he will try to stop it and not to see the end of the dream, because it was very terrifying for him. So he carries this gift or this curse, as he described it, for 4 decades. And one of the things that I found out is that for the Guarani people, for the ancestors of Juans, this is the way that they connect to the upper levels or to the spiritual world. So in a way, the phenomenon trigger a gift from his land, from his ancestors. Yes.
Free Dreamlanders, I hate to say goodbye at this point in the show, but that is what I have to do. This is a subscription-driven site, and we need to encourage you to subscribe. So why don't you go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe right now? You can use credit cards. You can use PayPal. Ending your subscription is easy. All you have to do is go to your account and cut it off when you are no longer willing to subscribe for whatever reason. So it's an extremely user-friendly system. We have a wonderful technical support staff as well, and we are ready for your participation in our wonderful weekly chats at 7 p.m. Pacific in the chat room of the subscriber area. Also, you'll be able to enjoy many Whitley Strieber audiobooks, including soon The Afterlife Revolution. So get over there and subscribe. Witness of Another World. Go to the Witness of Another World website, witnessofanotherworld.com. Look at the preview, buy the show, and stream it. It is a truly wonderful experience.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by unknowncountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Strieber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Strieber is your Dreamland host, and I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.